Hello there, faithful listener. You've tuned in to Season 7 of the Bible Explained podcast. So make sure to grab your cup of coffee, because today we are going to be discussing the Book of Acts. Hello and good morning, faithful listeners, and welcome to the Bible Explained podcast. My name is Jen. I am the host here. And I am so thankful to all of you guys who have been checking out my YouTube channel. I can see the numbers slowly growing, and that's awesome. So if you haven't subscribed to my YouTube channel yet, P40 Ministries, the YouTube channel has all of the podcasts on it. And also I'm going to be coming out soon with another YouTube video. If only I can think what that YouTube video is going to be. I have no ideas, but I'll come up with something. And I know I'm selling my YouTube channel so great right now, but I'll come up with something good, I promise you guys. All right, let's go ahead and read Acts chapter 25, verses 13 through 27. We're going to learn about King Agrippa II and also his significant other, Bernice. Okay, so let's read this out of WEB or whatever version that you prefer, but I'll be sticking with the WEB today. Grab your cup of coffee or your cup of tea, and let's read together. Now, when some days had passed, King Agrippa and Bernice arrived at Caesarea and greeted Festus. As he stayed there many days, Festus laid Paul's case before the king, saying, "There is a certain man left a prisoner by Felix, about whom, when I was at Jerusalem, the chief priests and the elders of the Jews informed me, asking for a sentence against him. I answered them that it is not the custom of the Romans to give up any man to destruction before the accused has met the accusers face to face and has had the opportunity to make his defense concerning the matter laid out against him. When therefore they had come together here, I didn't delay, but on the next day sat on the judgment seat and commanded the man to be brought. When the accusers stood up, they brought no charges against him of such things that I had supposed, but had certain questions against him about their own religion, and about one Jesus, who was dead, whom Paul affirmed to be alive. Being perplexed how to inquire concerning these things, I asked whether he was willing to go to Jerusalem and there be judged concerning these matters. But when Paul had appealed to be kept for the decision of the emperor, I commanded him to be kept until I could send him to Caesar." Agrippa said to Festus, "I also would like to hear the man myself." "Tomorrow," he said, "you shall hear him." So on the next day, when Agrippa and Bernice had come with great pomp, and they had entered into the place of hearing with the commanding officers and the principal men of the city, at the command of Festus, Paul was brought in. Festus said, "King Agrippa, and all men who are here present with us, you see this man about whom all the multitude of the Jews petitioned me, both at Jerusalem and here, crying that he ought not to live any longer. But when I found that he had committed nothing worthy of death, and as he himself appealed to the emperor, I determined to send him, of whom I have no certain thing to write to my lord. Therefore, I have brought him out before you, and especially before you, King Agrippa, that after examination, I might have something to write. For it seems to me unreasonable, in sending a prisoner, not to also specify the charges against him." So we talked the other day about how Festus has just become the governor of Caesarea. And he got his job because the previous governor of Caesarea, who happened to be Felix, was a very corrupt man. And he got stripped of his position as governor and had to go to Rome, I guess, to stand trial for all these corruption charges, which historically turned out to be true. So Felix was stripped of his governorship, and now it was given to Festus. And Festus is a very different governor. The two men are actually complete opposites. Felix was just kind of happy to stay in Caesarea and take bribes and do nothing, honestly. And Festus is much more, you know, willing to travel, willing to learn about his people, wants to learn about the people he's governing, and is interested in this case with Paul and took it up very quickly after he became the new governor. But he had so many questions, because what happened was he went to Jerusalem to learn more about Jewish customs, most likely. And this was like a couple days after he became the governor. He goes to Jerusalem to learn more about the people, and immediately all the priests nag Festus about Paul. And meanwhile, while they're asking Festus to basically kill Paul, they're plotting in their heads, the high priest and all of them are plotting to kill Paul as he comes down to Jerusalem for trial. So they ask Festus, "Please send Paul to Jerusalem so we can put him on trial. Just please do it. We promise that we will, you know, give him a fair trial. But meanwhile, they're plotting Paul's death. So anyway, Festus doesn't actually take the bait, but he does take the men with him, these priests with him, to try Paul up in Caesarea. And what ends up happening is Festus is actually shocked by what took place. These men aren't bringing any criminal charges against Paul at all. It has everything to do with the Jewish religion. And so Festus is not sure how to handle this case. And the reason I believe that Festus didn't know about the plan of the priests to kill Paul on the way to Jerusalem is because of what we read today. So it says here that when some days had passed after Paul's trial with Festus, King Agrippa and Bernice arrive at Caesarea and they greeted Festus. Now, King Agrippa was the grandson of King Herod, the Herod that did help kill Jesus, helped put him on the cross. And he was the son of King Herod Agrippa I, who did in fact kill the apostle James. So this King Agrippa II is from a long line of people who persecute Jesus and the followers of Jesus. So this King Agrippa doesn't have a very good track record for being friendly towards Christians. And he arrives with his sister Bernice, is what it says. Historically, this is his sister. And historically, also, this was his lover. So there's that. Apparently, his sister Bernice had been married and was widowed. And then when she was widowed, she came to live with her brother. And they were incestuous together. Then she got married to some other king and ended up divorcing him for her brother. So that is the history of that. Great stuff going on. So King Agrippa and Bernice arrive at Caesarea to greet Festus. And the reason that they probably came to Caesarea is because they had had really good relations with Felix, the previous governor of Caesarea, because Felix had actually married King Agrippa's other sister, Drusilla. And I don't know historically if there was any incestuous relationship between Drusilla and King Agrippa. We don't know. But Felix was married to Drusilla. And so because Felix was married to Drusilla, he had a relationship with King Agrippa. But now that Felix is no longer the governor, King Agrippa still wants to maintain probably a positive relationship with the new governor, who happens to be Festus. So he goes up with his sister Bernice to greet Festus, to meet him in person. So it says that they stayed there for many days, and most likely Festus and King Agrippa were partying it up. I'm sure Festus was entertaining King Agrippa and his creepy sister. And so it says in verse 14 that as he stayed there many days, Festus laid Paul's case before the king, saying there's a certain man left a prisoner by Felix. And so he has all these questions for King Agrippa. And the reason Festus is bringing Paul's case before King Agrippa is because King Agrippa was a Jew. And Festus thinks that since King Agrippa is a Jew, most likely he has a better knowledge and understanding of Jewish customs than Festus himself would have. So he tells the whole details about Paul's case. He's like, look, I was in Jerusalem just recently, and all of these chief priests and elders came up to me and asked me to put Paul to death. But I told them, no, that is not how Romans do things. We do not kill other Romans without letting them have a trial first. And then he continues on. He says, and so then I brought all these elders with me to put Paul on trial. And it turns out that they didn't have any criminal charges against Paul. Instead, everything that they brought against Paul was just matters of their own religion and about this guy named Jesus, who apparently they don't like. And Paul believes is still alive, but these Jewish guys believe that Jesus is dead. So then he says in verse 20, being perplexed how to inquire concerning these things, I asked whether he was willing to go to Jerusalem and there be judged concerning these matters. And that is why I do believe that Festus did not know about the plot to kill Paul on the way to Jerusalem, is because he says it right here to King Agrippa. He's like, I didn't know how to handle this case. And so I thought maybe it would be better to take Paul to Jerusalem and let the chief priests and elders figure this out, because I don't know what I'm doing when it comes to Jewish law. And that is why I personally believe that Festus did not know about the plot against Paul. But God was protecting Paul's life, of course, because Paul was still needed to preach the gospel. Even though Paul wasn't doing missionary journeys anymore and hadn't been doing missionary journeys now for several years because he's been stuck in prison this whole time, Paul was still needed, because now Paul was going to be preaching to people like Festus and King Agrippa and Bernice and all of these high-ranking officials. That was Paul's new purpose as a Christian, to remain in chains and to preach the gospel to high-ranking officials and to kings and to the Caesar. That was what God was using Paul's life for. And I'm sure Paul was probably like, why? Why am I still in prison? Why am I here? But God had a purpose for Paul. But moving forward in the story, Festus brings Paul's case before King Agrippa, hoping that King Agrippa can help him in some way. So Agrippa is curious. And he says to Festus, he's like, you know, I'd like to hear this man speak about what his beliefs are. And so Festus is like, perfect, we'll have you hear him tomorrow. I'd love for you to come into the court and listen to Paul for me, because I have no clue what to write to Caesar about, because this guy has appealed to Caesar and I've got literally no charges to bring against him. So if you could hear him out and understand what charges should be made against this guy, that would help me out. And that's the thing about all of this. Festus knew that Paul was innocent. The next day, Bernice and King Agrippa come with all of their pomp, is what it says. So they're probably dressed to the nines. And they come into the courtroom next to Festus. And Festus brings Paul out. And before Paul is allowed to speak, Festus specifically says, I have no charges against this man. So King Agrippa, if you could make a charge against him, that would be great. That is basically what it says, my paraphrase. In verse 25, but when I found that he had committed nothing worthy of death, and as he himself appealed to the emperor, I determined to send him, of whom I have no certain thing to write to my lord. Therefore, I've brought him out before you, especially before you, King Agrippa, that after examination, I might have something to write. For it seems to me unreasonable in sending a prisoner not also to specify the charges against him. So that's the thing. You know, a lot of people like to look at the Bible and be like, oh, you know, the Jews always persecuted the Christians and the Jews put Jesus to death. But look at the entire context of the story, because the Romans also helped put people to death. This man, Festus, is helping Paul get sent to Nero. Nero was notoriously cruel to Christians. He is helping send Paul possibly to his death and is even looking for something to charge Paul with so that he could send Paul to the emperor. So the Romans also mistreated Jesus, mistreated the Christians, helped put Christians to death. They are not innocent of that sin. Take a look at the entire Bible and see how basically every person in scripture is pretty terrible. Other than Jesus Christ himself, who was God in human flesh and who was absolutely perfect because he was God, everybody else is terrible. So it is wrong to blame one group for crucifying Christ or mistreating Christians, because nobody is innocent of that sin. It was Jews and Gentiles together helping persecute Jesus. And every single one of us who has sinned has helped put Jesus on that cross, because our sins is what Jesus paid for on the cross. If we didn't sin, Jesus wouldn't have had to die. He wouldn't have had to be the perfect sacrifice to pay for our sins so that we don't have to die in our sins and go to hell. Jesus paid for all of those sins so that we can accept the free gift of salvation through his sacrifice and be given eternal life instead, forever with God. So all of us are guilty of putting Jesus on that cross. And here, Festus is guilty of helping send Paul to his death, even though he has heard the message of Jesus Christ from Paul's own mouth. Even though he heard everything Paul had to say about Christianity, Festus is still choosing to persecute Paul here. And King Agrippa and Bernice are going to help persecute Paul as well. But we will get into what Paul has to say in the next chapter, because he is going to testify in front of King Agrippa and his creepy sister, and also in front of Festus and whoever else might be in this room, because I'm sure there's quite a lot of people actually in this room listening to the testimony of Paul. So Paul is about to witness about Jesus in front of all of these people. So we'll get into that on Thursday. So make sure to tune in then. And also tomorrow on the Old Testament side of stuff, we're going to be talking about Saul trying to persecute David. So persecution is all over scripture. Anyway, guys, I will see you all tomorrow for an episode out of 1 Samuel. Have a wonderful rest of your day. Happy listening, and God bless.